This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
I blame Kyrie still. I still blame Kyrie. He has been on quite a roll since the end of the NBA regular season. And of course, there is some question about his future now in the NBA, whether or not he remains with the Nets. Will the Nets give him the big extension? How much is he worth? He's not in any way lowering his profile or dropping off the map for now. He is Kyrie, for better or for worse. You could say that about the man. He's unabashedly Kyrie Irving. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. I just realized that after I talked about the photo array of the clouds on Facebook, and thank you for all your comments. A lot of you are finding them now. I've been wanting to share more of my vacation photos on Facebook because I didn't do that at all while I was gone last week. I didn't share this particular group of clouds or group of photos on Twitter, so I'll put those up too. But on our Facebook page, this time you get them first. How about that? It's a constant battle, a tug of war, if you will, between Facebookers and tweeters. So whether it's Facebook or whether you find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio, always good to connect with you, especially when it comes to photos of clouds, my dog, horseback riding, vacation, gas prices. That's where my mind is still. We're live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Whether you're looking to purchase a new home or refinance yours, Rocket Mortgage can help you get there. For home loan solutions that fit your life, Rocket can. You may remember, this happened before I left on vacation, that Kyrie Irving called himself a martyr when the season ended, and he was referring to his stance where he did not get the vaccine and essentially was standing in the gap for the little man and the little woman who didn't have the voice in the platform by holding strong and sticking to his convictions. And ultimately, of course, this had nothing to do with the NBA. New York City regulations were changed to allow basketball players, athletes, so baseball players too, and performers, Broadway performers, singers, actors, that type of thing, to take part in their craft, to participate in New York City without getting vaccinated. And right before the playoffs, that opened up the door for Kyrie to rejoin his Nets teammates on a regular basis. For that, and the fact that he chose to sacrifice a good portion of his NBA season while getting paid. So, huge sacrifice, you know. He called himself a martyr. And that in and of itself probably doesn't sit well with a lot of people, especially if you recognize the magnitude of that word and the depth and the history behind it, and people who've literally sacrificed their lives for what they believe in, for their convictions. It was an odd use of a word. I'm sure it was supposed to be a hyperbole on his end. Of course, he did try to convince us at one point that the earth was flat, so maybe he does truly believe he is a martyr. Well, he's continued on sharing his perspective in the wake of the season, most recently on the I Am Athlete podcast. Now, a lot of what he talked about on this podcast had to do with his time in Cleveland and his relationships with LeBron. Jay, was there anything about the Nets and about this season other than his whole deal about not being vaccinated? Because it seemed like a lot of what I heard anyway was about him asking out of Cleveland. Now, granted, they're kind of fielding the questions there. Brandon Marshall's part of this podcast. With the I Am Athlete podcast has made major headlines over the course of the last year plus because of the soft space and the place where athletes can go to really be honest and vulnerable. And Brandon Marshall is, I mean, he's all about talking about experiences and mental health and everything that he's been through over the course of his career and his life. So not all of it was about the Nets. But he did talk about the bond among NBA players, right? And the fact that it was a mischaracterization that he and LeBron were no longer getting along, that they weren't brothers anymore. He wants that same relationship with KD, feels like they have that same relationship. And he believes that it's one of those elements of NBA life and of being a professional athlete that's really important, especially when there's so much scrutiny on superstars like Kyrie, like LeBron, like KD.
We got to be cool as brothers, whether we're playing together or whether we're not playing together. Right. We have to protect one another because it will seep into family life, mm-hmm. where people will really think that we don't like each other based on us not being able to play together anymore. You know what I mean? You asked for a trade, so you must hate that dude.
Yeah, right.
That was the furthest thing from the truth.
He did spend a lot of time talking about the fact that his departure from Cleveland was portrayed so incorrectly in the media and by the media. Now, there is a track record with Kyrie Irving, so, of course, a lot of times actions speak louder than words. He hasn't been super content since he left there. And the time in Boston, to be sure, was a disaster. He's been injured in a lot of the places where he's been to, so he's missed time. And then there's been times when he's just gone AWOL. And that includes with the Brooklyn Nets, hanging his teammates and his coach, who had no idea where he was, out to dry and because he still had to answer questions. Steve Nash was still fielding questions about where is Kyrie and what's Kyrie up to. So then, interestingly enough, he talked about his maturity level and that I'll just be honest, mature is not one of the words I associate with Kyrie Irving. And I'm saying that not in jest. I'm saying that with a completely straight face. The man just disappears at times and doesn't tell his teammates or his coaches. How is that mature?
Boston hates you.
That was just last year. Forget Boston for a second. I mean, there was not a whole lot of maturity there either. But forget Boston. Last season, before vaccination was even a question, before he was prevented from playing in New York City, and before the Nets asked him to sit because they didn't want him to be a part-time player. He just disappeared multiple times over the course of last year. James Harden, KD, Kyrie. It was supposed to be this group of three, and yet there were times when they didn't know where Kyrie had disappeared to.
Oh, Kyrie, what are you doing at home?
That's not maturity. But back to the I Am Athlete podcast. He says if he knew now what he knew then in Cleveland, if he had the same wisdom now, then that he has now, well, things might have turned out differently with the Cavaliers.
I definitely feel like if I was in the same maturity level I am now and understanding who I am, and I look back on that time then, we definitely would have won more championships together because there would have been a better man-to-man understanding about what I'm going through. I didn't know how to share my emotions. I didn't know how to do that. So instead of sharing, I isolated myself.
Okay. He's growing up. I mean, you certainly have a variety of experiences along Kyrie's journey. I still don't know that I would label him mature, but that's just my opinion. Definitely can be unprofessional at times. And depending upon where you fall with the whole vaccination debate, now I've said to you before, I'm pro-vaccine, but I'm anti-mandate. I believe that Kyrie was well within his rights if he didn't want to get the vaccine. The thing is, the part that's so frustrating is that if he'd played in any other, pretty much any other market in the NBA, this would not have been an issue. So that was part of the deal. He just happened to be playing for a team in New York City where it was an issue. And so I don't hold that against him. I know there are a lot of people who think that if he really cared about being a teammate, he would have gotten vaccinated. Who was it? Was it Andrew Wiggins who did the same thing, who wasn't going to get vaccinated, but in California, he would not have been allowed to play with the Warriors in their home games. So he went ahead and got vaccinated for that reason. We certainly know that in the NFL, there was a mad dash by players to get vaccinated after the NFL came out with its sets of rules. One set for vaccinated players, one set for unvaccinated. And the reason why the NFL outlined those rules publicly is to put pressure on its players. And because there was such a disparity between those who were vaxxed and those who did not get the shots, many guys who maybe didn't have a real conviction one way or another, just weren't planning on doing it, weren't real interested in it, didn't really care. There was this mad rush. Hundreds of guys who got vaccinated right before training camp because they didn't want to deal with the two sets of rules. But in the case of Kyrie, he chose to stick to his guns. So regardless of your opinion about that, I still say that there are times where it's all about Kyrie and not much about anybody else. Even though in this particular case, he touted his decision as standing up for those people who couldn't necessarily stand up for themselves. On the I Am Athlete podcast, he recognizes that there's a lot of people who don't like him or who criticize him. Actually, uses the word villain. And he believes that started when he asked out of Cleveland.
I asked for a trade because I was looking for something different. I was a man of my word. When I went to the organization, I sat the higher ups down and said, look, I know y'all have future plans. Tell me right now. They told me their future plans. I said, look, this isn't for me. Somehow the news gets leaked while I'm in China. I'm not even on American soil right now. So I can't even get on.
Defend yourself.
To defend myself. So now I see all these reports, and 12 hours ahead in China. So I'm staying up 4 a.m. like, what's being reported now? Yeah. And I didn't have a sense of how to manage that when all the media is coming after me. But I had the conversation that needed to be had with the organization, and then I was going to have it with Bron. But as soon as I got over to China, boom, now it's, Bron's attempted to do this, and Kyrie's saying it's about this, and that's not the image I want to create. Yo, why didn't you tell him? I'm like, some things can't really be shared in open spaces all the time, and it took me 6 years to even talk about it openly because I'm comfortable with my decision. Did I do this the right? I left one of the best to play the game, and I started listening to the
people. Right.
To that. That's where the mental health that you just brought up comes into play, because when you start believing what other people say about you, you become a shell of yourself.
That's when I started to become misunderstood, is when I asked for a trade and everybody didn't realize I was asking for a trade from the Cleveland Cavaliers, but they were like, nah, you asking for a trade.
The narrative from LeBron.
Well, that's just typical, because when you play with LeBron, he's essentially the center of that mini universe. Kyrie got caught up in that, to be sure. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio, the I Am Athlete podcast with Kyrie Irving. I think that's an interesting perspective, and going back and thinking about the fact that he was out of the country and LeBron found out through back channels, so to speak, the news is leaked. He felt like he had done it the right way. I don't have any issue with Kyrie wanting something different. Considering the way that some athletes have demanded trades and then have thrown essentially temper tantrums or hissy fits or just completely checked out on their teams and their teammates, James Harden, until they got what they wanted. The irony, the irony is so rich here around the Brooklyn Nets. I appreciate that Kyrie didn't want to go that route. And I do agree with him that very often we in the media will take an issue or a topic that is not so black and white, because nothing in life is black and white, not when it comes to our careers, not when it comes to our choices, our life choices, and it's that way for athletes too. We often can choose sides so easily and so quickly, and it does become this, pick a side, he's a villain, she's the hero type of a thing. And I've said this more than once, and I'll say it again, it's unrealistic. As much as we as fans with stars in our eyes would love to have our favorite athletes stay in one city with one franchise their entire careers, it's not realistic. And when you think about the fact that the average NBA career is not even 5 years long, and that the average NFL career is not even 4 years long, and that the majority of professional athletes have a very limited window in which to make money, you go where the work is, you go where the money is. Not all of them are multimillionaires or billionaires. I don't know if any of them are billionaires, but not all of them are multimillionaires. The fact is that they're trying to maximize their career potential as well. And how many of us change jobs? I mean, if staying in one place was the requirement for a successful career, mine would be a complete and total bust. For the first 15 years of my career, I never stayed in one place longer than a year and a half. I was constantly moving around. In fact, I think this is really funny, but the town I live in now, before I bought my house, I rented a home a couple streets away. I lived there for 5 years. It was the longest I had lived in any one place since I was in high school. I mean, sometimes the career requires that you move around. And that is the case for professional sports. So I don't have any issue with guys deciding they want something different, changing uniforms, changing cities, changing careers. Sometimes it's not even their choice. It can be a trade. It's the way that they do it, though. And it sounds like Kyrie believed that he had gone about it the right way. And yes, once juicy information like that is leaked, well, then you lose all control over how it's disseminated. But yeah, I would definitely say that that's when people started turning against him, but Boston did not help. And neither has Brooklyn. I mean, and remember, he refused to go to the bubble too, back going to the end of the 2020 season. I mean, Kyrie has chosen that he's going to do it his way. And okay. He's constantly feeling like he has to defend himself, though. Sometimes I wish he would just stop, If these are your choices, just who cares anymore? Just don't defend them. And yet he never lets the fans forget that not only does he hear the noise that they're throwing at him and the noise they're making around him, but he thinks they're ridiculous. He's constantly stirring the pot with fans. Whether it be in Boston with the scorned ex-girlfriend thing, or whether it be, do we have the cut where he's the one that we used yesterday about the is it TikTok or Instagram or whatever he hears from fans?
It's been so long, y'all can say the same joke.
Twitch.
Oh, Kyrie, what are you doing at home?
That's how y'all sound to me.
Oh, what are you doing at home? Are you going to Cancun? Where are you? Are you at home? Oh, Kyrie, you suck.
What, babe?
What are you doing? Oh my god, go back to Cleveland. Oh my god, Boston hates you. Oh my god.
That's how y'all sound to me, cockroaches. That's how y'all sound to me.
All right, well, on Twitch, Kyrie has a message for the fans. So that mature Kyrie Irving, he's so misunderstood and villainized.
Go back to Cleveland. Oh my god.
Oh my god. I mean, the first time I heard it was funny. Now it's like, dude.
Boston hates you.
And I'm pretty sure he called fans cockroaches. All right. Very mature of you, Kyrie. Very mature. Oh, heavens. Now, what about Sean Marks? What about the Brooklyn Nets and Kyrie's future? Interesting to hear him talk about whether or not the team is committed to Kyrie. We'll let you hear from Sean Marks coming up next. Also, he may have to change the name on his contract. If you didn't hear about that, we'll have to explain. On Twitter, A-Law Radio, I just put up the photos of the clouds so that you're not left out after I shared them with Facebook, but just something to make you smile, to grab your eye on this now Thursday morning. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
BS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
In terms of my extension, man, I don't really plan on going anywhere. So, you know, this is, like I said, this is added motivation for our franchise to be at the top of the league for the next few years.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
That is the voice of Kyrie Irving. You can hear the maturity. It's oozing maturity. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Are the Nets committed to Kyrie moving forward? There's a lot of money invested there, but it will cost a lot of money to keep him. And let's be honest, the first few years, they've spent more money on Kyrie when he's on the sidelines and not playing, whether it be injured or because of his vax status, then they've spent money on him logging minutes on the court. I mean, the 2021 season, because of the injuries and various other factors, KD, James Harden, Kyrie played 9 games together. That's it. And they were ousted by the eventual Milwaukee Bucks, or say that again, the eventual NBA champion Milwaukee Bucks in the second round of the Eastern Conference playoffs. This year, they were swept by the Celtics in the opening round. So the Nets have got tough decisions to make. Harden's gone, to be sure. KD's under contract. Well, what about Kyrie? Are you going to spend the money on a guy who is hit or miss? He's great when he's out there, but that's the problem. How often is he out there?
Look, I think that's something we've been discussing and we will continue to debrief on and discuss throughout this off-season. And it's honestly not just Kyrie. I mean, you bring Kyrie up, but we have decisions to make on a variety of different free agents throughout our roster. We haven't had any of those discussions yet, so it would be unfair for me to comment on, you know, how it looks with us and Kyrie, because to be quite frank, he has some decisions to make on his own. So he has to look at what he's going to do with his player option and so forth like that. But I think we know what we're looking for. You know, we're looking for guys that want to come in here, be part of something bigger than themselves, play selfless, play team basketball, and be available. And that goes not only for Kyrie, but for everybody here.
Be available. I like that part. That's Sean Marks, the general manager of the Brooklyn Nets. Well, that's a huge question with Ben Simmons, right? Who's having back surgery this offseason. So what about Ben as a part of the Nets moving forward?
We were hoping that, just like Ben was, hoping he was going to be out there. And I think he was hoping more than anybody that he could come out and contribute for the team. You know, we've had lengthy discussions about how much he can contribute and how much really he means to our roster. There's a gaping hole, and he fits, you know, some needs that we've talked about in the past. He is a big, big part of this. He fits a lot of holes, plugs a lot of holes that we think we potentially have, and with him in there, it's a different dynamic out there. It's a different dynamic for not only his teammates, what they'll be asked to do in the roles that they'll have to cover, but also for the coaching staff.
Kyrie Irving, Ben Simmons, Kevin Durant. Could that be the core of a winning team moving forward? Well, they certainly could use the defense if Ben Simmons returns as the same guy, if he's out there consistently. But it's been a while now. It's been over a year. Presumably, the vaccination status is not an issue moving forward for Kyrie. We know Kevin Durant, as long as he's healthy, is still a badass. Is that enough to compete with what is a fairly competitive Eastern Conference? We saw it this year. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. Sean Marks, notoriously positive, optimistic, and certainly when you spend the kind of money and make the kind of moves that the Nets have made in the last 3 years, you better be all in on it. Whether he convinced himself or just trying to convince everybody else that these moves were going to pan out, it certainly not resulted in the playoff success that they were hoping. The idea is to bring a championship to Brooklyn. That's what KD said. That's what Kyrie said. They also said that along with Steve Nash, any of them could coach the team on any given day. So what about that culture? Well, Sean Marks admits that it was one step forward, but two steps back this season.
The culture is always going to change and tweak as to who comes in here. Did we take a step back? You know, without a doubt. Without a doubt, the culture isn't what it quite was. And it's going to be our job, you know, to pick that up. And between Steve and myself as leaders of that, we will certainly be doing that. But again, we've got to find the players again that are going to drive that culture.
We've got to find the players who are going to drive that culture. Sounds like he doesn't believe that the roster as currently constituted is enough, is the right mix. Now, we got a long way to go still before we get to the NBA offseason, but obviously all but four teams are thinking ahead now. We've had the draft lottery. The draft comes up not that long after the NBA finals are done. And then typically around July 4th, one reason why I don't take off July 4th, not the only reason, but we end up having a flurry of activity. And you think the money in the NFL is gaudy. Holy cannoli. In the NBA, it's, I mean, it's eye-popping, it's jaw-dropping, and for me, it's impossible to identify with. So these contracts and the player movement, I mean, it'll be extensive, as it always is. I mean, James Harden's another one. The Philadelphia 76ers have to figure out what to do about him, too. But, I mean, you could have guys in the NBA making $50-plus million per year. I mean, they're getting close to that now. Quarterback money, for heaven's sakes, and it's fully guaranteed. So buckle up. who knows what happens with Kyrie and James Harden, but it feels like every offseason for the last 3 years, they've been major storylines. No, the NBA does not revolve around those two guys, but that's certainly what it seems like based on the number of headlines and the amount of clickbait.
Boston hates you.
I mean, that just annoys me so much. Not the content of what he said, but the tone of his voice.
Oh, Kyrie, what are you doing at home?
And sure, the first word that comes to my mind is he's so mature. Maturity. He's oozing maturity there.
It's the dark side. Embrace it.
It's too late for you, man. You've already been sucked in. You're a Sith Lord. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. Speaking of dark side, I actually took some pretty dark and stormy photos of some dark and stormy clouds that I'm sharing with you on Twitter and on Facebook, too. Because, you know, I'm not just about sports. That'd be boring.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Oh, it was sports all the time.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Mahomes fires for the end zone. Caught! Touchdown! Kansas City!
Murray back to throw. And it is. Is it caught? Is it caught? Oh my goodness, it's caught! DeAndre Hopkins caught it!
He's got a man wide open. John Brown, he makes the catch. Touchdown, Buffalo! John Brown from Josh Allen.
Lamar Jackson in the shotgun. Lob to the five. It is caught. Touchdown, Willie Snead.
Play fake by Russ.
Throws deep. Man wide open. It's Lockett. He's in. Touchdown, Seahawks.
Tannehill rolling, throwing. Touchdown, Titans.
Burrow back to pass. Throws into the end zone.
Yeah.
It's intended for Tyler
Boyd. Touchdown.
Touchdown. Yeah. Bengals.
It's time for QB News on After Hours.
Always a good time for QB News. Thanks so much for hanging out with us as we work our way into the early stages of a Thursday morning. Oh, we're getting so close to the weekend. Wait, am I not supposed to say that? Yeah, we're getting so close to the weekend. That encourages me. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Joe Burrow making some extensive comments, probably the first time since the Super Bowl loss. And now that it's been a few months and the dust has settled and the Bengals are moving on, they're paying attention to their offensive line. They're gearing up for soon what will be mandatory OTAs, not just for rookies, but for veterans. And you can imagine they feel like there's some unfinished business. So Burrow was asked recently how he recovered from that loss in the Super Bowl against the Rams.
You know, I treated it like any other loss. You know, I went through that week, watched the film, you know, saw where I could get better, saw the things that we did well, and then I moved on. I put it behind me. We're in a 2022 season. Obviously, losing the Super Bowl is not fun. It's not something that we wanted to do, but you know, I've put it behind me at this point, and we're moving on.
First extensive comments since that Super Bowl loss, and you can tell that time gives perspective, obviously. And think about this. You want perspective. Where were the Bengals this time last year? Last place in the AFC North. Joe Burrow was still recovering from a torn ACL. They weren't sure that he was going to be ready to kick off the season. And wowzers, what a difference a year makes.
You know, Joe in Cincinnati.
And so Joe Burrow's recovered. They're looking ahead. And the question then was posed to him, does it feel like you're starting from scratch?
Going into the season, everyone's starting from scratch, but we've also worked really hard to build this culture that we've built the last couple of years that has enabled us to have the success that we did last year. And so, I mean, technically, yes, but, you know, as far as the grinding and the work that we put in to build the culture, you know, we're looking to carry that momentum from last year into this year.
It's a good thing to have expectations placed on you. Now, if you have the right locker room culture, if you've built a winning culture, outside expectations, external expectations will never measure up to internal expectations. You will always hold yourself to a higher standard. I mean, I can say that just as a one-man band. I mean, producer James is here. But as someone who has worked in this career now for 20 years, 20-plus years, my expectations and my criticism of myself always, always heavier and more extensive than anything that someone could level at me on social media or even that a boss could bring at me. And you can hear that with Joe Burrow as he talks about the Bengals, as he talks about the fact that we've got a plan. We believed all along that we were working toward the very specific goal of championship.
You know, I would say we raised the standard in the eyes of you guys and the fans, but our standard has never changed. And coming in here year one, I expected to win every game. And that's how I go into every single game thinking, you know, I'm not going to accept losing.
I like it. You've got to have a guy who essentially is the head of the snake, right? Your voice, your face of your franchise. And he's not leading alone, but the quarterback is always looked to as a leader, whether or not he is good at it, Carson Wentz. And so in the case of Joe Burrow, he leads by example, but obviously it's that winning mentality. He was coming off a national championship in college football. He was coming off one of the greatest seasons a college football quarterback has ever had, and he carried that with him to Cincinnati. Did they have to put weapons around him? Yes. Do they need to see that offensive line be rebuilt? Yes. But these are all steps that follow after you get your franchise quarterback who believes that they should win every game.
Looks like we're going to the AFC Championship.
Helps when you have a kicker who is near perfect in the playoffs, right? Evan McPherson. Such a great run, a fun story, and a lot of excitement around the Bengals. And it just makes the AFC North that much more jacked from top to bottom. It's weird to think about the Steelers being the basement of the AFC North, but I would say in terms of expectations, that's probably where it is, right?
We don't have a chance.
Because Roethlisberger has graduated, and we know these things graduated. We know these things are cyclical. He's moved on and graduated to a new phase of his life. And so it's without the quarterback, the Browns have upgraded, theoretically, to Deshaun Watson. The Baltimore Ravens have Lamar Jackson, supposed to be giving him a long-term extension.
Been a billionaire and been a champion.
He's got high expectations. But still, that division's so competitive and so juicy. I'm already excited. But yeah, right now it's the Bengals' division to lose as they are into their voluntary workouts, soon to be mandatory OTAs. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. There was another appearance or another comment by Joe Burrow that caught our ears from the Full Send podcast about Tom Brady and his retirement.
He's playing way too well to give it up right now.
Then why say you're retiring?
I think he wanted to shut down the conversation, because if he didn't announce his retirement, everyone would be talking about, is he retiring? Is he not retiring? So I think he went ahead and did it to get everyone off his back so he could go think about it.
Oh, okay. Is that what he did? I don't know. It's not what Brady said. But honestly, I you're Tom Brady. You're 49 years old or whatever. At this point, everything you do comes with the question of, is this it? So if you listen now to some of his teammates, they didn't really believe that he was going to retire.
I had no knowledge of anything.
There are a lot of people in the media who felt the same way. Now, Joe Burrow refers to that news kind of leaking, and it didn't come out on Brady's terms, and he just wanted to squash that. Still, the whole thing was weird. And then 40 days later, it didn't matter. It became irrelevant. What was leaked, what wasn't, what he said, what he didn't, how quickly it came out, yada, yada, yada. So Joe Burrow, Cincinnati Bengals, team to watch, obviously, in 2022. How about the Los Angeles Chargers? How about everything in the AFC West that's just gone belly up? No, that's gone upside down, right side up. belly up wasn't quite what I was going for there. The AFC West is clearly a division to watch, and that is also the opinion of the NFL, who's pretty much made every single one of those divisional games prime time. So Justin Herbert, he's always going to be a quarterback that you can't miss. Yeah, or gangster quarterback, and he knows he's watching. The Chargers have done most of their upgrading on defense, but seeing what's happening with the Chiefs in the wake of Tyreek Hill's departure, what the Broncos have done to bring in Russell Wilson and others, and certainly the Raiders, Derek Carr, Devontae Adams now, and they've also upgraded on defense. Man, it's going to be a lot of fun in that division, too. And it's almost like they're starting from scratch because I'm not really sure what to expect anymore now.
The whole goal is to get better, and you know I think we've done that this offseason. And as long as we continue to work hard, you know, kind of like I mentioned at practice, OTAs, on our own, we're going to get better. And the guys that we added up with, you know, they're incredible players. They've been around so long, and they've had some great experience over the years. And to be able to learn from them, to play with them, you know, they're going to make us a lot better.
Something else that I think the Chargers can be really excited about, Chargers fans can be excited about, but this is really more about the players, is that they've broken ground on a new headquarters for the team. It's not near SoFi. It's their own space where they'll not only have their practice facilities and feel like they've got a dedicated space where they can be Chargers and not just in the shadow of the Rams or sharing the Rams space. But also, Justin kind of points to the fact that he feels like they can attract free agents this way with new facilities, state-of-the-art facilities, and again, their own facilities as opposed to sharing everything with the Rams.
I think it's a great opportunity for us to come up here and, you know, and celebrate a great opportunity for our team to come up to this LA community, which has taken great care of us. And, you know, over the next couple of years, it's going to be really exciting to see what it turns into.
I mean, they're co-tenants with the Rams there at SoFi Stadium, but they're breaking ground on headquarters in El Segundo, which is neat. The headquarters will be near the airport, so near LAX, and 7 miles from their stadium. And then the Rams, who actually, I read this, kind of interesting, they're still operating out of their own, like, trailers and temporary facilities, and they're all, like, both these teams now are trying to come up with their, you know, their new headquarters, which are kind of away from SoFi. I mean, if you know, a lot of NFL teams, they don't practice at their stadiums. So a lot of times those stadiums are used for, let's say, concerts or other events. And I learned this about the Packers that kind of blew me away. They very rarely use Lambeau outside of game days. For the most part, they're practicing elsewhere, a lot of times indoors too, right? During the middle of the winter. And so the Rams and the Chargers, they need separate facilities. And this complex has now had its groundbreaking in El Segundo, and they'll have 3 full-size fields. They'll have meeting rooms and training space and even an esports gaming studio. And that's where the Chargers will host their training camp. Now, they're spending millions, hundreds of millions of dollars on it. It's still a few years away from completion. But I would agree, when you have a facility like that that's dedicated, that you can call home, that's state of the art, it definitely is attractive for young athletes, for free agents. It's that way in baseball too sometimes, right? Like, think about what the Oakland A's have to offer free agents versus, say, a brand new facility. I mean, you could look at the new Rangers ballpark or really anything that's new and shiny and that attracts our attention. We're so predictable as humans. We like new and shiny. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and 3-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.